Psalm 25 is where we're going to be at today. Psalm 25. I have never met a single person in my entire life who enjoys uncertainty. We all hate it. We hate it because we always want to know what's happening. And you know, the world that we live in today, we can always know what's happening. And you know, if we don't know what's happening, you can talk to a friend, you can talk to a teacher, and we have the internet. So if you don't know something, you can figure it out. And we love that. I mean, the internet is amazing. Do you want to learn how to juggle? Then YouTube it. Do you want to find out, is that the same actor who was in the other movie that I saw? Google it. If you're not feeling great, you can look up your symptoms and get all your answers solved at WebMD. Everyone who just laughed is a science major, probably. But we love figuring out things. But the problem is, we don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, after graduation, this summer. And maybe you have plans for that, but your plans are not guaranteed. So what do? When you're faced with uncertainty, when you don't know what's going to happen, when you have multiple open doors, but you don't know which one to walk through. Google does not have the answer to this issue, but Psalm 25 does. And it does, because in this psalm, David finds himself in a super uncertain situation. He is on the run. We don't know the exact background, but he's definitely facing a lot of uncertainty as he's being chased. He doesn't know if he's going to get captured, is he going to get killed. He does not know what's going to happen next. And there's no way I can preach the depths of this passage in 15 minutes, but I do want us to see in this passage a answer to a specific question that I think every single person in here needs to answer. That question we're going to ask and answer today is, what do you do when you are uncertain about the future? What do you do when you are uncertain about the future? We're going to see two reactions that David has to his uncertainty, and we need to have these reactions as well. And the first reaction, guys, it's pretty revolutionary, okay? This is probably new truth to you. First reaction you have when you're uncertain is you talk to God about leading you. I'm not the first person to tell you this. These two reactions are not just these mind-blowing truths. They're things that you already know to do, but we don't do them. Because how many times when we're facing uncertainty do we freak out, we complain, we worry, we talk to every single person except God, the one who can solve this uncertainty? So you need to talk to God and specifically about leading you. Look what David does in verses 4 and 5. He says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." And one thing to note here is see specifically how David asks God to guide him. He says, "God, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth." And how often when we ask God for blessings, we come to him and we say, "God, I want to have this career. I want to marry this person. I want to do this thing. I want this. I want that. Please bless this." And I legitimately think we do want God to bless our lives, but we're coming about this the exact opposite way. We don't come to God and tell him to bless our plan. We come to God and we ask him to show us his plan, because his plan is infinitely better than ours. So ask him. Come to God and ask him to lead you, and he will. We're going to see that later in this psalm. He is too faithful to not lead you through this uncertain time. So he asks God to lead him, and then he brings up two specific issues about leading that you need to talk to God about. Two specific issues. And this first one he's going to talk about is trust. Because then if you have God lead you, you have to trust him to lead you. So let's say next semester you come here to Bob Jones and you sign up for piano lessons and you are super excited to learn piano, and you walk in the first day and you see your teacher, and your teacher is me. You should be scared. I don't know how to play piano. I know which one's middle C, and if sometimes I can get pretty fancy and I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb, because that takes about five notes. But overall, you could say that I am not qualified to teach you piano. You should not trust me to teach you piano. It's not going to end well. But even though you can't trust me because I am underqualified, when it comes to leading your life, God is incredibly qualified to lead you. He is the God who created the whole universe. He is the God who sustains it every single day. You can trust him. And so when David faces this uncertain time, he immediately tells God that he trusts him to lead him. Look what how he starts this psalm in verses 1 through 3. He says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." And David, he comes to God and he tells God that he trusts him. And he trusts God because he knows who his God is. It says here that he knows that God will not put him to shame if he waits on him. Maybe that's where you're at today. You're waiting on God to show you. You're facing this uncertainty and you don't know what's next. Do you know what's awesome? You serve this God. And if you're waiting right now, he will not put you to shame. He will not put you to disgrace. He will lead you. So trust him to do that. 2,000 years ago, God the Father, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And we know that our trusting in that perfect, finished work is what guarantees our salvation and our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And just like we trust God for our salvation, we can trust him to lead us. He will lead us through this life. And just as we know that we have a personal relationship with him because he's shown us mercy that was shown on the cross, we need to continually ask him for that mercy as he leads us. That's the second issue, that as God leads us, we need to ask God to lead us according to his mercy. Look what David says in verses 6 and 7. He says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my transgression, the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." What is David saying here? He's saying, God, as you lead me, please remember all of your faithful character and not all my sins. And this is so relatable. I mean, if God led me according to what I deserved, I would be in trouble. Because you know what? When uncertainty comes, I worry. I doubt. I complain about what's happening. And if God leads me according to that, it's not going to end well. But I'm so thankful that God is eternally merciful and eternally loving. The word here, loving kindnesses, is the Hebrew word chesed. You probably have heard about it before. It's talking about God's covenant loyal love to us, his people. And it carries this idea of being completely steadfast. That's how the ESV is going to translate it. Steadfast love. And that love does not go up if you do better on a day. And it doesn't go down on a day that you don't do well. God's love to you will not change. It is forever. So as you live your life, as you ask God to lead you, ask him to lead you according to his mercy and according to his faithful character, not all your sins. Because look at verse 6. It says that God's mercies and loving kindness have been of old. God has forever been merciful and steadfast in his love for me. How long have I been sinning and messing up? Since 1996, consistently every day. And I want God to lead me according to his mercy and his love. So these are these two issues that we need to talk to God about for leading, that he leads us according to his mercy, and to tell him that we trust him as he leads us because he is so trustworthy. But think about it. So if God is not leading your life for a specific purpose, why does your life matter? When you're faced with this choice right now, and God isn't directing you, why does it matter? Why does this uncertainty, why is it so critical? I don't know about you guys, but I am incredibly thankful that I can look at God's word and I can see specific promises to me that God is going to lead me. And that's what David does in this psalm. And this is our second reaction. You have to claim specific promises that God will lead you. Looking at the time, we're only going to have time to cover one of these specific promises. So let's look at verses 8 through 10. David says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek, or humble, will he guide in judgment. And the meek, or humble, will he teach his way." So, I don't know about you guys. I have this sinner part of the promise down pat. I am excellent at sinning. The humble part, the meek part, is what I need to work on. I'm guessing that's what you need to work on too. But how great is this promise? If you humbly come to God and you ask him to lead you, he will lead you. He is so faithful. His words are true, and he will lead you through this uncertain time. But how? Maybe you know, yeah, God, you're going to lead me, but how? He answers this in verse 10. Every single path of God that he will put you through are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And the words that we have for mercy and truth are, first off, mercy again is hesed, this covenant, steadfast love. And what is translated as truth is the Hebrew word emet, and it can be translated as truth or faithfulness. But in this context, we're talking about how God is reliable, how he's faithful. So it's almost better translated as faithfulness. So every single path that God is going to lead you down is based off, it's coming from his love for you and his faithfulness to you. And God is the most faithful being ever. So trust in this promise. We don't have a ton of time to look at it, but in verses 12 through 14, we're also going to see that not only if you're humble and you ask God to lead you, he also will lead those who fear him. And fearing God, it's an attitude that acknowledges your absolute dependence on God for mercy, for forgiveness, and your own existence, and realizing the awesome power that he has. So here, we have two incredibly specific promises, and we could continue to go through this psalm and see promise after promise of God's leading, God's delivering through times of uncertainty. And I really would encourage you, this psalm has meant so much to me this semester. I have gone through a lot of uncertainty recently, and I've had to claim this psalm as truth. I know God divinely directed me to this psalm through my Bible reading, and it's become so precious, and I would encourage you to do this. Go through this psalm with a journal. Write down every promise that is made about God. Write it down. Write down every single thing that David asks God for. So you have those two lists. Every single thing David asked God to do, pray that to God every single day. Every promise that's found in this psalm, claim that as true every single day, and God will lead you. I promise you, I've seen it in my own life. God has led me in amazing ways. And is it always what I want? Is it always the exact plan that I have? No, it is not. But it is a path for me that is according to God's steadfast love for me and his faithfulness to me. Like I said, I promise you, God will lead you. But better than my promise is God's promise that we find right here. He will lead you through this uncertain time. He is too faithful to do anything but lead you. So trust him to do exactly that. Father, you are so faithful, and I thank you for your word that we can look into and see absolute truth. Father, I pray that we would claim this truth and live it out, that we would claim specific promises of your leading, that we would talk to you since you are the only one who can solve this uncertainty, and that we would trust you as you lead us, and that we would, that you would show us mercy as you lead us. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Help us to trust you.